Thank you. When Larry asked me last week if I would preach, I said, sure. And then I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. So I just waited on God to see what he wanted me to say. And nothing came at first. So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll get up and just tell stories or something. But as the week went on, more and more, God started speaking to me. And then he started speaking too much to where I'm just overwhelmed with things that he's given me this week. And I hope I can pull this all together, everything that he was showing me, and hope it makes sense. I'm still trying to make sense out of some of it. Just when I think I got it, oh, wow, what a great truth. And oh, this is great. And oh, this is a new understanding. And I think I'm getting it. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, wait a minute. I think I just lost track on this again. And that's all part of learning. I guess when a child goes and learns math or anything else, it starts to make sense. And then it doesn't, because something new kind of comes along that gets thrown into the equation. And then we've got to still keep on learning. And so that's where I'm at. So where my week went this week was, when Larry had asked me that, I was going through some things in my life. When you're diagnosed with cancer, and then you get through it and go into remission, and the doctors think, hey, we might have caught this in time. Then they come back and tell you a year and a half later, oh, it's back. Sorry about your luck. I don't know how much time I can tell you have left. You know, that's not the best news to hear. And when he says, and then further says, well, but we still have some hope here. We've got a second line of defense. We'll try this chemotherapy and see what happens. We hope to put it back into remission. But he says, you might want to start looking at other alternatives. See what's outside the area, other places. So in other words, that's not the best news to hear. That might qualify for having a bad day even. That's just what part of the message that I have about is about having good days and bad days. We throw that out there a lot. Oh, I'm having a bad day. My back hurts. My shoes hurt. Well, we need to really understand what a bad day is. I read a book called Escape from the Box by Colonel Edward Hubbard from the United States Air Force. Escape from the Box, The Wonder of Human Potential. He was a Vietnam vet that was shot down in enemy territory and spent 6.5 years in a prisoner of war camp. When your plane has been shot down and you're traveling 600 miles per hour towards the earth and your wings are shot off and you're heading straight down into enemy territory, that's grounds to be able to say that, well, I'm having a bad day. So we have to first qualify, he says, what's a bad day, what's a good day? Well, 6.5 years of being spent in a prisoner of war camp in a jail cell, in a small little cell, where he had no light of day, no windows. He had a teeny tiny hole in the door that he would look through to see the sunlight in the morning. If he could see the sunlight in the morning, he knew it was a good day because he was still alive. That's a good day. He was beaten and starved. They had a cup of rice and a cup of boiled weeds, and that's what they ate every day. 6.5 years. No communication, solitary confinement. And if he could just see that light coming through that little pinhole, it was a good day. He came up with a slogan later that I've used for the last several years, and that's that there are no bad days. Some just aren't quite as good as others. There are no bad days. Well, and there again it goes, if this is the day of the Lord, how can we have a bad day? This is the day of the Lord. We should rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what's happening around us, good or bad. I went through a lot of questioning in my mind this week as, okay, well, why is this happening? Or what if, could I have done something different to prevent this? Or, you know, there's just all kinds of questions going through my head this week. And I notice it happens with everybody. We all have our own thing that we're going through. I sat down and read the Benton City Bulletin and saw where Mike, the owner of Kybe Market, had written a piece. And you could see the hurt in him at the beginning of the letter where he says, I wake up every morning at 3:00 in the morning. And the wheels are turning of, what if? What if I had done this? And what if I had done that? Because this was his life, and his life came crashing down because it failed. He went through some kind of a failure. And now we're trying to reason why. And what could I have done different to prevent this? And he's strong, and he will pop back. And he's using his time wisely with his kids. And you know, he now has time to spend with his family he didn't have before. But still, I could relate to the hurt he must be going through of what I tried, failed, and now what do I do? And what could I have done different? And those same things have been going through my mind. You know, what could I have done? And then different people come and tell you, well, you know, cigarette smoking can cause cancer. So, you know, it's your fault. You smoked. Well, but what about Mrs. Reeves, Superman's wife? She just died, never smoked a cigarette in her life, and died of lung cancer. We know that other people died of lung cancer, never smoked a cigarette in their life. Then on the other hand, I see people 100 years old smoking away on cigarettes. I know drug addicts that are shooting heroin, smoking crack cocaine, smoking cigarettes. They're 60 years old, and they're still alive and don't have cancer. So, I mean, we can't blame things just on cigarettes either. We don't know who's going to get what. There's no rhyme or reason as to who has to go through what and why. We don't know who's going to be in the next car accident and die. We don't know, you know, who's going to, while fighting battles in war, is going to die next. We, you know, every day we don't know. We don't pick it. Hubbard didn't pick it when his plane went down. He didn't choose to go down and be put in a prison of war camp for 6.5 years. And we don't choose all of the trials and tribulations that we go through. They're just there, and we deal with them as they come, and each one of us differently. As I'm asking God, what's all this for? I don't ask why in the sense of, I gave up asking why a long time ago. That's why I wrote that song, I See Is Coming, and I'm no longer asking why, because I know he's got a plan and a reason for everything. It's like a little kid, you know, why? Why do we got to do this? And why is it this way? And why me? And, you know, that's just, I've learned that that does no good to ask why. So I've rephrased the question. I don't ask why, I ask how come. But I wonder, I'm wondering, you know, what could I have done different? You know, is God, even thoughts of, is God mad at me? Was I not doing enough for him? Well, you know, but then I'm reminded, well, no, wait a minute, there's axe murderers out there and everybody else that are worse than me, and they don't have cancer. So, I mean, it wasn't something I did, and God's not trying to punish me or anything. But those thoughts go through your head as to why we have to go through all this. Through this, God, you know, God reminded me of that book that I had read years ago, Escape from the Box. So I sat down and reread most of it. It was just amazing to hear this man's story on the wonder of human potentiality. They're in prison where you're beaten. I mean, they were beaten severely on a regular basis, tortured in so many different ways, and starved in the solitary confinement. And what they were able to do, he started a exercise program where he challenged the guy in the cell next to him to push-ups every day. And they were so weak, they could only do 10 in the beginning. But what was so amazing was the potential in them. By the time the weeks and days and months, they just added a few more every day, and they were up to 1,000 push-ups. It was amazing what the human body could do and under that kind of pressure and stress. And then he saw that it wasn't just physical potential, there was a mental potential. They needed stimulation of the mind while they were in there to make it and to live that long a time. So they asked everyone in the cells near them, give me all the information you have and I'm going to memorize it. Tell me birth dates. Tell me names. Tell me the name of your dog. Tell me the name of your kids. Just any kind of information you have, I need it. I need to memorize it. And they did that, and they would pass things around. And how they did this, they couldn't talk. They weren't allowed to. They ended up developing a tap code. And through a tap code on the wall, they were able to communicate and memorize people's names, addresses, cities, states, poems. Anything anyone had ever memorized got passed on, and everybody got to learn from each other then and work together. They learned languages. He ended up at one point with a Hispanic man, was in a cell next to him. And that man, just through tapping on the wall, he never got to hear the pronunciation, anything, but he learned 5,000-word Spanish language just through tapping on the wall. When he later got out of prison, he went to the college, took the course, aced the course without opening the textbook, all from tapping the code through the wall. That's amazing potential that we have just in the human nature. We haven't even got to the spiritual yet, but just to the human and mental potential is unbelievable. They learned all the different languages. German, somebody there knew German, someone there knew French. Someone there was a math teacher. Someone there was an English teacher or had taken those classes in college. And so through tapping on the wall through all those years, people got their degrees right there through tapping on the wall. And that's just absolutely amazing. We take so much of that for granted, of what we can do, what our unlimited potential is to do. And so he tells us, he now goes around and he's a positive motivational speaker for companies to get more productivity out of you. Because everyone can do more and has more potentiality than what we realize. We have more power there waiting to be used than what we could possibly. And until you're put into a position where you're faced with that situation, where you're put into the position of captivity, that you then have the opportunity to escape from that captivity. Don't let it hold us back. All of us have some kind of a box around us that keeps us from becoming anything and everything that we can be in Christ, in our daily lives, in our human lives, in our mental capacity. All of us have some kind of box, whether that be religious restrictions, whether it just be that, oh, it's too hard, I can't do that, just a mental attitude. He said, nothing's too hard. You can do it. You can do everything. He challenges people in his groups. He hands everyone a piece of yellow sticky notes, those little inch and a half yellow sticky notes. He gives one to everyone and says, so pretend you have one. And he says, write down everything you've done in your life. That if you had the opportunity to do it over again, could you do it just a hair better than you did? No one's been able to fill one of those inch and a half sticky notes yet. Because all of us can do a little bit better anything and everything that we do and try. But we put restrictions and limitations around ourselves that keep us from becoming more and all that we can be. And so he challenges everyone to move forward and become more of that potential of what's there. To give just a little bit more each day than you did the day before. So if you could do 10 push-ups today, well then tomorrow do those 10 again. But then maybe add one more. The next day, do that same thing, but then maybe add one more. See, we can always do little bits at a time to do more and become. And look where we have come throughout history when we look at the progression of the physical and the mental and everything. We've gone from an invention of a wagon wheel on a dirt road to space travel. I mean, it's just amazing, and it's doubling, quadrupling even more on what we can do. Our potential is unlimited. So for whatever reason, God was showing me all this. And then and as I was studying that, He took me one step further and says, well, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. If we have this unlimited potential in the natural, look what we have in the spirit. You know, he talked about how little kids in the service, he would watch them overseas in Germany and France when they would be at different bases. The little kids could learn the languages just like that, but not the adults. Because the little kids hadn't been told yet that, oh, you can't do that. No, that's too hard. You know, they didn't have the box put around them yet. Their minds are free to learn. And so they pick it up just like that. It's the adults that can't. We go and put limits on us. And we put limits on us in the spiritual as well. And when God was showing me that, he showed me, took me back to my electronics training years ago when I went to college and took electronics. And he showed me my basic circuit. Let's see here. A basic circuit of a power source, a battery, and a light bulb. And in electricity, we have our, let's see, here's our battery here. That's a battery. Yeah, that's our 12 volt, like a car battery. Let's say that's our power source. We have a positive side and a negative side. Here's our connections, our wires hooking to it. We'll bring this on down over here. I'm going to put a light bulb in here. We're connected to one side of the battery to this side of the light bulb. Goes through a little filament wire inside the light bulb, back to the other side of the battery. Makes a complete circuit, lights the light when we're connected to the power source. Very simple. What God was showing me was the circuit, and I didn't know why. And he said, because of the potential. A battery has a potential. It's stored energy. It's not doing anything. It's ready to go, though. Once we put it into motion, it's no longer a potential energy. It now is energy in motion, a kinetic energy. It's energy in motion. It's being used. And that energy goes through that light bulb and lights it. It uses that energy. Now the energy is being used for something. It's like the water behind a dam. That battery, a good example is a water behind the dam. It's potential energy ready to give forth power to do something. But until the gates are open, the spillways are open to allow the water to go through, creating a current, going through the land, going to the sea. Okay, now it's in motion. Now we went from a potential power and energy to energy in motion. It's being used. It's like faith. Faith without works is dead. Well, our potential needs to be put in motion. That potential energy is there. We have a power source, and the source is ready to light that light. But until we connect the circuit and allow it to flow and let the energy flow and let the light light, it's just potential energy. It's not doing a whole lot. I know I have a couple, some of my kids are doing so well, kids and stepkids, but then there's a couple that have wonderful potential, but they're not doing anything with it. So it's like, and I've heard Dr. Laura talk to people all the time, where people call in and, what can I do about my kid? They just have all this potential and they're not doing anything. Well, then they're not doing anything, and that's their choice and that's their life. That's their potential. Potential doesn't mean a whole lot until they do something with it. It's wonderful that they have this potential, but potential alone isn't going to do it. The potential needs to be put into motion. The water has to be, the gates have to be opened. The water has to be released. Let the water out, let it flow, and let it, that water, when it goes, it doesn't just go and do nothing. The water goes out and it feeds everything. It feeds the land, the trees, the flowers, the grasses. It nourishes, it provides life to the ground as it goes. Provides fish in the fish in there, the wildlife, the sea life. It provides life and nourishes as it goes out. It's doing something. Goes to the sea. And then through a process of evaporation and condensation, it returns back to that same source. The water starts here, flows out, nourishes, brings life, and then returns to the source. Nourishing as it goes. Which is an excellent example of what we're seeing and what we're experiencing in God. God is that potential. God told me, look at the source. He says, I am the source. I am the source. It started in the beginning. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. Felt like Ron when I was studying this. I went back to Genesis and I'm like, oh, here I am studying Genesis. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. There was God, only God. It starts with God. God's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So it starts with God and it ends with God. There's the source. It flows out from the source, returns to the source. And life is provided as it goes. Starts here, flows out, provides life, returns to the source. In the beginning, it was God. Then we then go into the New Testament with John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word, the Logos, that living Word, which is also a thought, a divine expression, the Christ. It's not just Word. It's the Logos, the divine expression of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing is made without God. So it starts with God. Everything is made by God. It says not anything was made that wasn't made by God. And in Him was life, Zoe. And the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. Here's the light that I showed in the schematic. There's the power source. There's the power source. There's the light when it's hooked up. It starts with God. You have to connect it to both sides of the battery, the positive and the negative. It has to be hooked up to both sides. It can't just be hooked up to one side and not the other. And what was interesting, God was showing me this, and I'm like, oh, because I've questioned, well, why do we have this good and evil? Why do we have this negative side in life? Why do we have this? It's not supposed to be. Wait a minute, if I'm the Christ, and I'm the glory of God, and all the power of the resurrection of Jesus, all the same power that rose Jesus from the dead abides in me, and that's me, why is there cancer? Why can't we get rid of it? Why can't I walk up to crippled people and heal them? Why can't I walk up to hurting people? Why can't we stop the death and the tortures and everything that's around here? Something's not right here. Well, what's the deal? All I've gotten out of this from what God showed me was I got to put my eyes on the source. From in the beginning, God. In the beginning, there was God. Nothing was made without Him. Good and evil was made by God. Positive and negative. It's all coming from God. You know, we always want to fight the devil and fight the negativity. But it's all used. He started to show me this is all used. He uses the good and the bad. He uses the good and the evil. He uses the positive and the negative. It all comes together to complete the circuit. I can't hook to just this positive. I have to hook to the positive and the negative to receive for the light to work. Because what's happening within the electrical circuit is you have movements of parts of atoms, and the atom, which is the smallest unit of a chemical element, consists of protons, neutrons, and orbiting electrons. Useless information that I learned 20 years ago and still haven't memorized. But on your atoms, you have your protons and electrons. Electrons have a negative charge. Protons have a positive charge. When you have too many positives, you have a positive charged ion. When you have too many negatives, you have a negative charged ion. When you have just as many negatives as positives, you have a neutral atom. But it's this opposite charges attract and like charges repel. And within the wire of these molecules, it's that attracting force and that repelling force that creates the movements of atoms, which lights the light. We have to have the opposites. We have to have the good and the evil, the positive and the negative. We have to have those opposite charges to light the light. It has to be. And so I'm like, okay, so there's reasons for this. There's reasons we have destruction, chaos, light, dark, up, down, left, right. We have to have the opposites, the positive, the negative, because God created it all. In Isaiah, Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. No, God doesn't create evil. No, that was Satan that did that. No. I make peace and create evil. Yeah, I did that. That's what he says. But he has a reason for it. And when we go back to the dawn of time, when we go back to where we were in God, when it was started with God, flows out from God, returns to God, when we get back into that, when we're eating just from the tree of life, we had no knowledge of good and evil. All we saw was life. Well, it wasn't when we ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that all of a sudden evil existed. It had always existed. Because it says here, nothing was made. What did he say? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He created the good and the evil. And for a reason, and it worked together in perfect harmony, positive and negative, good and evil, for better, for worse. Richness and poorness, sickness and health. It's a union. It's a marriage. And it worked all together in God. It worked. But we didn't see it as, that's good and that's evil. We didn't see that till we got the awareness, the knowledge of good and evil. We ate that tree and all of a sudden we're like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not just seeing God anymore in life. I'm not seeing good and evil working together, perfect harmony, the yin and the yang, if I can go there. It's all working together in perfect harmony, and that's how we saw it before. We didn't see, there's this good and evil, and we got to get rid of the evil. No, God made it all for a reason and a purpose. The peace and the calamity. That evil, it says, it comes from the word raw. Adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, distress, evil, great, grief, harm, heavy, hurt, mischief, misery. Sad, sorrow, trouble, vex, wicked, worse, wretchedness, wrong. God created that. Seems kind of horrible God would do that. Yeah, because I'm looking at it from the wrong source and looking at it from the wrong eyes. It's there for a reason. God created it there. It worked together in perfect harmony when we ate from the tree of life. And we only saw him as life and that we were the light of men of his life. And when we only saw that, only saw the source, only saw the life, the good and evil worked together for his good. But when we got that little bit of awareness and knowledge, now we are so screwed up on what good and evil is. What is good and evil? We're so messed up that the world today does not have a clue what good and evil is. They're over there in Afghanistan ready to kill a man because he wanted to convert from Islam to Christianity. And in the name of goodness, we're going to kill someone because that's good, because this guy's evil because he switched religion, so he's evil. So we're going to be good by killing him. This is the craziest stuff you can ever hear. Nobody knows what good and evil is nowadays. What is good and evil? And in the Christian churches even, we erect churches in the name of Jesus, in the name of goodness, in the name of good. And that church is evil, and things they're doing is evil. And we don't know what good and evil is. Because for one thing, we weren't supposed to have that. Not, we weren't originally having that knowledge of good and evil. We were supposed to just see life. Only God. See goodness and evil working together in God. And that's all we see is God. It's all we see is the life. It starts here and ends here. Right? I made a little prop. We get a visual here. This schematic is this right here, believe it or not. What's interesting, see, God took this a little step further for me too here. What we have is a regular car battery. This is the negative side. This is the positive side. I've run a wire from, and from the light bulb, we have a wire. So we have a wire from this side of the light bulb going to the negative side of the battery. This side of the light bulb going to the positive side of the battery. When I hook, if I try to hook this battery and say, well, no, I don't need the positive. I mean, I only want the positive. I don't want the negative. You know, only give me the good. We hook to the positive and absolutely nothing happens when I'm connected to the positive. It's not until, like we said, until we take advantage of the other side that the light lights up. We've got to have the negative and the positive in order for it to become light and energy. And don't look straight in that light or you'll start seeing spots. Whew. God showed me one more thing that started to blow me away here was that when you, on a circuit like this, we don't even have to have that wire connected to the negative side of the battery from our light, because this is usually grounded. Anyway, there's a wire that comes off of that side of the battery. That's this green wire here. And it goes to the ground. It's earthed. That's what it's called in electronics, too. It's not just grounded. It's earthed. The negative is connected to the earth. The positive side of your battery cannot connect directly to the earth. If it does, it's short circuits. The only way that the positive can come to meet with the negative is by going through the light, creating the light, then coming back to the circuit. It's got to be doing something. It's got to be creating providing heat or moving a fan or lighting a light, operating an audio circuit. It's got to be doing something. It's got to have a load put on it. Otherwise, we short-circuit the power source. And this side of the light bulb is, we can just go take it right over here and connect it right to ground. But we can connect right straight to ground because it's already grounded here. And so the analogy that God was showing me here was, well, wait a minute. The negative, ground, the lower realm. The human earthly nature is on the lower realm, on the negative side. Over here, the positive side of your battery is up in the air. It doesn't touch ground. It's in the air, the higher realm. And if you see, I put a cross here, and it's a conductive one. So we have our cross here. When we go to reach to the higher realm, we're connected. The lower realm and the heavenly realm are connected together into one circuit complete. Positive, negative, higher realm, lower realm, spirit, soul, and body. It's all one complete. Positive, negative. This is what he was showing me, was that bad, good and evil, positive and negative, higher realm, lower realm, it's all connected. We've been praying it all along. Jesus said to pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, here's the kingdom on earth. It's all connected and one together, but they have to operate together in God, good and evil. It's not a matter of I have to go off and fight this evil and get rid of this evil. No, the evil has to work with the good in perfect harmony and subjection to God. You see, because the Apostle Paul saw another force going on at work within him. Romans 7 and 8 are just two absolutely amazing chapters to me. Everything's right there. But this one part here. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's King James Version. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, now he says in verse 21, Romans 7, verse 21. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present. Evil is present with me. It's there. I do the good, but the evil is right there present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. But he says, you know what? That's not me. That's not the inward man. But it's there. That evil is still present. That force is still present. We have the positive. We have the negative. Right along with the positive flows the negative. They're all working together in perfect harmony. And within my inward man, I see right alongside of that good, another force at work, and that's the evil. And he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Then the light comes on. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with my mind I will serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. It's there for a reason, until God brings it under total subjection to him. Because it says, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, in 1 Corinthians 15:28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. God, all in all. Started with God, flowed out from God, returned to God. God is all in all. He is the one that will put everything under his subordination. Everything becomes subordinate to God, to the life of God. But it all works together, good, evil, positive, negative. It all works in perfect harmony under God. For the creature, in Romans 8:20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. We didn't ask for this. We didn't ask for these trials. We didn't ask for the tribulations. We didn't ask for the fire. But the fire and the destructive forces have to be in order to burn off that which is not of God, to burn off and create new life. The forests, beautiful forests, have to burn down in order so that new can come and grow beautifully. We have to have the destruction right along with the beauty, the peace along with the evil. It has to be there. It's true. We all need that. We didn't ask for it. But those destructive forces, whether it be positive, negative, good, evil, all works in God's favor to restore us to be everything that he's making us to be. The creature was made subject to vanity, to the ego, to the things of the flesh, to the, you know, we didn't ask for that. But it also says that because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Even though we were subjected to it unwillingly, he's bringing us back to that place where we no longer just have this knowledge of good and evil, but we see it working together, the yin and the yang. We see it all working together in God, perfect harmony, everything restored, the lamb and the lion, all restored in submission to God. And that's as he's raising us up in the glorious liberty of his children. We are being delivered from the bondage of corruption. And it's him that does it all. It's him that does all the work. And anything that's not of him gets burned off, because that's part of the whole process. To become pure gold, to have his divine nature, we have to have the fire. We have to have the calamity right along with the peace. He also gave me that verse, John 14:2-4. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Those are dwelling places, place to stay, a residence, an abode, many rooms. Were those rooms, were those mansions? We don't have a house in the sky on the corner of Glory Boulevard and Hallelujah Way with pretty gold trim and diamonds planted out in the garden. I challenge people with that all the time. So what are you going to do with this mansion up there in heaven? You know, and they're, oh, they don't know what they're going to do. But they've got a mansion. And I said, well, first of all, we have a glorious body, a new light body. And so we don't need to use the restroom. And we don't need to take showers, so we can get rid of the bathroom. Now you have a house with no bathroom. Now let's look at the bedroom. You don't need to sleep, so you don't need a bedroom either. And as far as procreating, I don't know if there's going to be any procreating, and if it's in the same manner. And if we did, we didn't need a bedroom. We can go find a cloud. But we can get rid of the bedroom. So now we have a house with no bathroom or bedroom. Kitchen, we don't need a kitchen. We don't eat. We don't have refrigerators. Kitchen's gone. Dining room's gone. What's left? We have a house with a big living room. And I guess we'll have a plasma TV, and we can watch old reruns of Jim Baker and Tammy Faye or something, of what not to do. I don't know. What can we do? What do you do in these mansions? It's because it's not those mansions. We're the mansions. We're the houses being created here. We're the house of God in the source. We're the life. We're the light of men. from the source. We're the light. We're the houses. We're the dwelling places. We're the glory of God. And it's the positive, the negative. It's the good and the evil. It's everything together, working together in perfect harmony in God. Everything working together. And we need that fire. We need the opposite side, the side we don't like, the negative, the evil. We need that to make the gold, to make the pure gold, the divine nature of God in us, his DNA that's in us, the divine nature activated. It takes that fire. You know, God kind of gave me a little catchy tune here as I was doing this. First, you know, speaking about unlimited potential, I just wanted to throw this little picture in here. It's a picture I made a while back. No limits. Larry said it earlier, talking about no boundaries, no limits. What God can do, our unlimited potential. The human potential, there's no limits. That's a picture of me skateboarding at the skateboard park, and I just cut it out and put it on the rings of Saturn, and it, you know, whatever. But, I mean, it's a silly picture, but yet there are no limits in God to our human potential or to the potential that's in the Spirit of what God is going to do for us as we walk as the house of God. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We're the house of God. We're the mansions. We're those rooms. And as we go and walk as God, as we go and walk as God on this earth, that's when we are eating from the tree of life, which is the light of men. We're concentrating on the source. Starts with God, flows from God, returns to God, and life is given to everyone around us as we are that house, that dwelling place. That's who we are. This, I could have come up with my own tune, but it, for some reason, the song, I don't know who wrote that song, I Behold the Christ in You, but I hope they don't mind that I added another verse to it. He says, I've prepared a place for you. How's the song go? I've prepared a place for you, that where I am, there you'll be too. Oh, I've prepared my place in you. You are my life. Be strong, be bold, because my house is solid gold. Oh, I've prepared my house. It's you. Amen. Let's sing that again. I've prepared a place for you, that where I am, there you'll be too. Oh, I've prepared my place in you. You are my life. Be strong, be bold, because my house is solid gold. Oh, I've prepared my house. It's you. Amen. That's pretty much all I have. I do want to, I'll just close with, I'll end with this saying. When it comes to, no matter, you know, all these bad things that seem to happen, we know everything, it's hard to go through them. Very, very hard and difficult for everybody and all the trials. But when we know what the source is, we can still live life in spite of the problems and the hurts. We can still live life knowing it's all about God and His life, and we'll be His light. And we focus on that. There are no bad days. This is the day of the Lord. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. There are no bad days. Some just aren't quite as good as others. But there are no bad days in God. And I got this little poem off of, the kids nowadays are on these sites, myspace.com. And it's amazing, these little kids, the communication network that they have, you have to watch them, because there's just millions of kids out there that are giving their whole life secrets out on the web. But it's an amazing thing. I have a site so I can keep track of my kids, and I know who their friends are. I know what they're saying to each other. They have a network set up of communication that's just out of this world. When their dog dies, it's posted on their little website, and all of their friends can see how they're feeling, the emotions they go through of daily life. Every day they have new bulletins to post. And it's just unbelievable. They know more about each other and what's going on in their lives than we could ever imagine. And a lot of stuff's just silly, stupid stuff I see on there. But I saw this one friend of Shawnee's that was on there had left a bulletin. As we grow up, we learn that even the one person that wasn't supposed to ever let you down probably will. You will have your heart broken probably more than once, and it's harder every time. And you'll break hearts too. So remember how it felt when yours was broken. You'll fight with your best friend. You'll blame a new love for things an old one did. You'll cry because time is passing too fast. And you'll eventually lose someone you love. So take too many pictures. Laugh too much. Love like you've never been hurt. Because every 60 seconds that you spend upset is a minute of happiness you'll never get back. Every 60 seconds of being upset is a minute of happiness you'll never get back. We get that choice whether we're going to have a good day or a bad day. We can look out that little pinhole in the door and see the light and say, I'm alive. This is a good day. Or we can look and make life miserable and look at the negative. We need to look at the whole. God is the life and we are the light. And live it for everything that we have in it. Live it to its fullest. Live it for God. Live it for all of us. Be that house of God here on earth. That's all I have.